It is the mantra for many in this modern society. This phrase is common among those who are indifferent or self-absorbed or scared or too busy to help those who are hurting around us. And let me say this. It can be overwhelming to try to help as many people that need help. You drive down through any city and you will see men and women who need help. Like, man, do I stop? Do I help? What do I do? We need to be led by the Spirit, amen? Knowing what to do and when to do it. See, and laws cannot make you do what is right, the right thing to do. No one can force a bystander to jump into a raging river to rescue a drowning child. You can't be forced to do that. No one can force a homeowner to go out and meet a new neighbor who doesn't speak English. There's no law that we can set to make you do that. No one can require a person to visit the sick or comfort the grieving or give food to the hungry or write a letter to the prisoner. Can't anybody make you do that? Amen? Laws are necessary and they're good, but laws do not change the human heart. Today, just briefly, I want to talk about intentional love, being intentional. Amen? Everyone say intentional. Laws do not change the human heart. I'm not for abortion. I'm not for same-sex marriage. I am not for smoking marijuana. But laws set up for it or against it cannot change the human heart. Amen? See, there are laws set up now to prohibit kids under 21 from buying alcohol. And I'm for that law. But does that law stop kids from drinking? Mm-mm. There has to be a heart change. You see, laws cannot regulate the heart. It can't make you do right. It can tell you what is right and what is wrong, but it can't make you do it. It has to be a heart, something in your heart makes you do what is right. There is no law that can make you love me or love a stranger. You see, your flesh cannot keep the Ten Commandments. All right, your flesh can't do it. Your flesh cannot do it. It has to be a heart change. It has to be something that God does in your heart that causes you to do what is right, to love your enemies, to treat a stranger well. It has to be. I'd like for you to go with me to the book of Luke. And briefly, we're going to look at Luke, and I'm going to finish this next Sunday. We won't get through it all today. But Luke chapter 10. And we're going to look at this, a portion of this parable. The Good Samaritan. Luke chapter 10. And I want to start at verse 25. Luke chapter 10 and verse 25. One day, an expert, with an attorney in religious law, stood up to test Jesus. Let's stop right there. Is that foolish? Some people stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. The Amplified says this. It says, "And a certain lawyer, an expert in the law, stood up to test him, saying, 'Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?'" There are a few reasons people ask questions. One is they really want to know the answer. They're humble. They want to know. Another reason is they want to verify what they think is correct is correct, and so they ask a question. Some people, however, ask questions which are prompted by prideful examination. I want to see if you know what you're talking about. Huh? Sometimes we'll do that. You know, parents ask kids questions all the time. And more often than not, when the parents ask the question, they already know the answer. What happened at school today? Nothing. So listen, if your mom and dad ask you what happened today, just go, they already know. And so this guy here, he did not want to know the truth, all right? He wanted to test Jesus to see if Jesus knew, which is very foolish. Sometimes you ask questions to demean and discredit the person. And this was crazy. Now, verse 25 gives us a great question. What do I need to do to inherit eternal life? What do I need to do to be saved, to make it into heaven? It was a great question, but the motive was wrong. The great question, but the motive was wrong. He didn't really want to know what it took to get into the kingdom of God. He wanted to demean Jesus, see what Jesus knew. That's crazy. Jesus answered his question with a question. Verse 26, it says, Jesus replied, "What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it?" So he answered his question with a question. And verse 27 says this from the Amplified. It says, "And he replied, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.'" And your neighbor as yourself. The lawyer knew the answer. What he did not know at the time was the implication of the answer. You see, there are two great loves here tied together. Love for God and love for others. Our love for God will always drive us to love others. I'm saying it again. Our love for God will always drive us to love others. If we do not love others, if we do not care for others, we do not love God. I don't care how much you shout and sing and dance. If you do not love others, you do not love God. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. No, if you don't love others, you do not love God. How can you love God who you've never seen? Huh? Huh? And then you see your brother every day and you don't demonstrate love to him. You don't love God. You're just a mouthpiece saying that you love God. I want to look at three ways that we can love the way that God wants us to love. Number one, we love others unreservedly. We love others unreservedly. You see, God loves you, all right? And God loves the murderer. You hear me? You hear me? God loves you, and God loves the murderer. He's not pleased with the actions, but he loves the murderer. And watch this. He loves the murderer as much as he loves you. He loves all of us the same. Not always pleased with our actions, but he loves us the same. You see, God is no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter your nationality, ethnicity, education, or social standing. He does not limit or regulate his love towards us. The Bible says in Ephesians for us to be imitators of God as dear children. If that's the case, then we cannot regulate or limit our love to others based on external appearances. There's this TV show. When it first came on, I would watch it. Don't take too much time to watch it now, but it's called this, Love at First Sight. or Married. Is it Marriage? What is it? Married at First Sight. I know you watch it. Married at First Sight. And watch this. They don't know each other. I'm not a proponent of it, so don't, I'm not preaching I'm a proponent of it. I'm just saying. They don't know each other. And so the first time they meet each other is at the wedding. Yeah. That's crazy, right? Yeah. Who would do that, right? There are people who do this. All right? The people who do this. And the first time they meet is at the wedding. They don't know how that person looks. Huh? How tall he is, how short. They're just coming. Tell your neighbor, that's crazy. That's crazy, right? But they do it. No, watch. It hasn't been in existence long enough, so we don't know how long it's going to last. The point I'm trying to make is here is love is a choice. Love is a choice. And God has chosen to love us. Amen? You see, you have to make up in your mind, I'm going to intentionally love you, not based on if you are loving or not. All right, so husbands, watch this. And I think Brother Osby touched on it a little bit today. No matter how difficult at times your spouse is, you have to make a decision, I'm going to love her. Amen? All the men said, amen. Sometimes it's not always pleasant. But you must make up in your mind, I'm going to intentionally love her on purpose. I always talk about me, right? Right. And so I love Ola. And so I have to intentionally love her. So the other day, she's in the bed, and it was my off day. So I get out of bed. She's chilling in the bed. I get out of bed. She's retired. I get out of bed. I go downstairs. I fix her breakfast. I'm fixing it. I'm the toast and the sausages and the eggs. I'm putting together. And I'm flipping stuff around, and I put it on the plate. And I hear the Lord say this to me: "Go take it to her." Take it to her. She can come downstairs and eat the food. She want to eat it. Isn't it enough that I fix the food? Amen? Huh? See, she's in the bed chilling. And, you know, she hear me downstairs. Right? Because I'm clanging pots and shutting the cabinet door and all this. She know what I'm doing. And so I say, all right, so I put a plate together, and I go upstairs, and I go into the bedroom, and she's really, like, really chilling, right? And so I bring her the plate. So here you go, honey. And then I don't know if the Lord, if I don't know what happened. I don't know if I'm ready to eat. And I... I'm talking about intentional love. I'm about to get heated, right? Like the skillet, right? And I hear the Lord saying, no, be humble. And so I don't know if it was a facial expression that I had or what, but she said, no, okay, I'll try to eat some. I said, okay, girl, you better eat some of that food, right? And I made a decision to love her. Love is a choice, not based on anything else other than what God has told me to do. Amen? Love unreservedly, meaning you don't keep count. Well, I did this, but you need to do this. Well, I did this. No, love doesn't keep count. Amen? Listen, if you're in marriage, stop counting. Stop counting and just do it. God does not count when he demonstrates love to you. The wives, listen, don't go home today and tell your husband, you heard what the pastor said. Amen. Make up your mind, I'm going to love you on purpose. Love is a choice. And when I love you, I'm going to give all myself to you. I'm not going to hold back anything. Amen. Even when you weren't loving back, I'm going to give all myself to you. Listen, if you're not married and you can't walk in this, don't get married. Amen. Huh? If you can't walk it, don't get married. If you can't give yourself without reserve, don't get married. Number two, we love sacrificially. Next Sunday, you'll understand why we're going through these steps as we talk about the Good Samaritan. But we love sacrificially. Let me ask you this question, not rhetorical. How much did God's love for us cost him? How much? Right. It cost him the life of his one and only son. When we love sacrificially. It cost him the life of his one and only son. This great price demonstrated his willingness to back up his words of love with action. I don't care how many baby I love you, sweethearts I love you that you give. If it is not backed up with action, it's just words. Listen to me. No matter how many I love you, Lords, that you give, if not backed up with action, it's just words. The Bible says, it says this, if you love me, keep my commandments. What is this? Keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. Sacrificially. We are called to love sacrificially. Means this, it will cost you something. The other day it cost me my pride. Because the Lord told me to do that, my pride said something different. This is what my pride said. You want to hear what my pride said? I'm the man. She's the woman. Yep. That's what my pride said. Pride Stuttman said, you the man, dude. Huh? She retired. I'm working, man. You have to sacrifice your pride if you're going to love. Amen? Jesus came down. He made a comment like this. He said, the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but be a servant for all. All right? And so what? He crucified pride because he could have the position that I'm God Almighty. You're going to serve me. Amen? A few hours before he was to be crucified, the Bible says that he wrapped himself in like a towel and got a basin of water and went to every disciple he had, even the disciple that's going to later betray him, and washed their feet. He crucified pride. If you're going to love like God loves, it must be a sacrificial type of love. I mean, it's going to cost you something. Amen. It's going to cost you your pride. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you if you want to love like this. If you want to be intentional about your love, it will cost you. Go with me to 2 Samuel chapter 24. 2 Samuel chapter 24. And look at verse 24. And this verse says this, but the king was David, replied to Arauna, no, I insist on buying it. Little history, the king wanted to have some land to build God a temple. And so he told this guy, you know, we're going to build it right here. And the guy said, you can have the land for free, O king. And the king said, watch this. No, I insist on buying it, for I will not present burnt offerings to the Lord my God that have not cost me nothing. So David paid him 50 pieces of silver for the threshing floor and the oxen. The Bible says there was this lady at the temple that Jesus and the disciples were standing watching as men gave their offerings. And people gave a large amount of offerings. And this one lady gave what the Bible says were 2 mites. We'll call it, I don't know, we'll call it a dollar. Maybe a dollar, right? Probably less, but a dollar. And he said to the disciples, this lady right here, she gave more than everyone else. Because that dollar cost her more. Amen? Listen, and until you give something that costs you, have no sacrifice. All right? Giving should cost you something. Cost you your pride? Huh? Cost you time? Huh? If I love you, I will sacrifice myself for you. Amen? The comment was made during Sunday school today about men walking on the outside of the wife or the girlfriend as you walk down the street. Women, listen to this. When you walk down through with a man, see what side he walks on. If he puts you on the curbside, you better think again. Amen. Two things. He ain't been taught right. Or he think about himself. Amen. The reason the man walks on the outside is demonstrating his willingness to sacrifice himself for his girlfriend or for his wife. So if a car does come by, he'd be the first to get clipped. Amen? Whew. Man, I tell this to couples who want to get married. I say to them, I say, listen, marriage is not about equality. It's about fairness. All right? Here's the example of equality. You're driving on the road, and you have 2 flat tires, and you and your wife together. Equality says this, I change one, you change one. That's equality, right? Yeah, right. I want equal rights. Okay, you change the tire. But that's not. That's not fair, though, right? Right? Yeah, see, you have to be willing to sacrifice. You as a man, you'll change both tires. Amen. It's no joke being a man. Well, let me say that. Stop. A good man. Amen. A godly man. Huh? One who will sacrifice himself, stand up for his family. God told Ezekiel, "I sought for a man." Who was there in the gap? I couldn't find one. Couldn't find one. Love requires sacrifice. Today, Josie and the team will go and feed the homeless today. It's a sacrifice because you could be at home
doing whatever you do at home. But you're taking the time to prepare and to serve food for a population that may feel like they're not seen. Because there's such an abundance of men and women without homes, you can get to the point where you no longer see them. Amen? You'll drive down certain roads, and you're so accustomed to it, you no longer see them. And so sacrificial love means I'm going to fix you a meal because I want you to know that I see you. And more important than I see you, God sees you. And we are here to represent the Lord. Amen? We love, number three, we love others proactively. Meaning this. We initiate love to others. We initiate love to others. When you are dating for a while and you start to have these feelings for the other person, one of the greatest things that you wrestle with is who's going to say, I love you first. Amen? Because your pride tells you that if you initiate the phrase, then the other person will have the advantage. What pride says. We love others proactively. We initiate love to others. We do not wait until they become loving. We love them now. I'll say it again. We initiate love to others. We do not wait until they become loving. We love them now. Go with me to Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. It says here, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ, giving his only son, sending Christ to die for us while we were loving, while we were in a repentant state, while we were kind. No, while we were yet sinners, God made a decision, I'm going to love you so much, I'm going to proactively send my son to die in your stead so you will have a right to eternal life. He did that for us. He initiated the love. We didn't repent first. He gave first. Amen? God did not wait for humanity to cry out to him. He came to us. If we're going to love proactively, we cannot wait for people to get their act together first and then love them. No, we have to love them now. We have to make the move because we represent Christ. Amen? And Christ was proactive. He came and he died before anyone repented. Sometimes we wait for people to get right. You got to love them now. You got to love them now. You got to love them now. Show them God's love now, because what happens is that love begins to draw men to Christ. Because they say, I'm a wretch, I'm messed up, but you still love me. You love me, and you died for me. Amen? God did not wait for humanity to cry out. He came to us first. Go with me to John chapter 3.
You don't have it on the screen, but we're going to read this. John chapter 3. And we're going to look at verse 16 of John chapter 3. It says here from the Amplified, it says, "For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave his one and only begotten Son, so that whoever believes and trusts in him as Savior shall not perish but have eternal life." You see, God did not wait for men to become righteous. God had a plan to purchase their salvation. And we are called to love others proactively. Listen, everyone's not going to be easy to love. Amen? And in fact, there are times that you look in the mirror, you're not easy to love. Your kids aren't always easy to love. Amen? Right. But you love them. Glory to God. And we're called to demonstrate that same type of love to others. Even, as we're going to learn next week, even to strangers. We're going to talk about next week. We're called to love, show this type of love, loving proactively, loving sacrificially, loving unreservedly, even to strangers. It may be somewhat easier to love to those who are around us, but God is going to challenge us next week to show that love to someone who is a stranger. And we're going to continue on with the Good Samaritan story. Are you ready to love someone who's a stranger? I don't know about that. Unreservedly, sacrificially, proactively, loving those you don't even know. I asked the question to someone a few days ago, and they said, well, sometimes, Pastor, it's easier to love those than the folks you do know. Man, I don't know. But we're going to study that next week. Amen. Stand to your feet, everyone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you glad to know Jesus? Are you really glad to know Jesus? Hallelujah. Every eye closed, every head bowed for a moment. I want to give you an opportunity, if you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior. I want you to know he loves you without reserve. He loves you sacrificially. He has been proactive in his love towards you. There's nothing that you can do to make him stop loving you. He loves you. Not pleased with all of your actions, but he loves you. And he has a place prepared for you, and that place is heaven. The only thing is you must accept him as your personal Savior. Meaning this, you must repent of your sins. Hallelujah. Ask Jesus to come into your life. Allow him to be your Lord and your Savior. And you can know that your eternal destination is secure today if you accept Jesus as your Savior. Now, some of you here today are probably already saved, but there may be someone here today who is not saved, not born again. And I want to give you that chance. Every eye closed, every head bowed. If you're here today and you know it's not right with you and the Lord, you know that if you were to die today, you would spend eternity in hell. But I want you to know you can avoid that and spend eternity with Jesus. If you're here today and you want to give your life to Jesus, hallelujah. If you're to Jesus, I want you to just come and meet me here at this altar. If that's you today and you want to give your life to Jesus, hallelujah. You want to give your life to Jesus, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I give you a moment. If you want to give your life to Jesus, your eternal destination can be secure. Hallelujah. Thank you. If not, bow your heads. Continue to bow your heads. We're going to pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you that you do not hold back in your love toward us.
Thank you for your sacrifice and sending your son, the Lord Jesus, really demonstrates your love for us. Thank you for loving us proactively, oh God. You came to us because we couldn't even get to you. And so, God, these people here today, would you bless them? Would you live your life through them in such a way that your love would be lived out in them? God, there's no law that can make us, but God, change our heart that we would love like you. And so, God, for tomorrow and the upcoming week, oh God, let your love flow into and through us so our unchurched friends and neighbors, unsaved friends and neighbors would sense the love of God in us and be drawn to you. And so, God, we surrender ourselves to you today, saying, have your way in our life. And, God, we do. We've thought about this. We do love you. And we're choosing, oh, God, to love others because of our love for you. And so we thank you and honor you. And in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen.